sin and sadness, drive the gloom of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fills us with the light of day. All thy works rejoice around thee, earth and heaven reflect the rays, stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting birds and flowering fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving, spring of the joy of living, ocean depths of happy rest, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, fountainhead of love divine, joyful we thy heaven inherit, joyful we by grace are thine.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of all who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. Let us open our hearts to God, who hears our cries and restores our soul. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, through Christ, God has reconciled us to himself. As a called and ordained servant of the word, I announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones do. Loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
You may be seated.
Today's Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 50. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who were taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading comes from James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the word of the Lord.
Please rise for the Alleluia and the reading of the gospel.
Alleluia.
According to St. Mark. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood, and it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and our children are invited forward for our Young Time lesson.
All right, I brought some stuff here. I'm going to ask to see if you can guess what all these maybe have in common. So I'll put these right here. So we got some medicine, okay, and some chicken noodle soup. So what do you think these all have in common? Yes. Yeah, something you might need for food or medicine. Or when I was little, this is some of the things that my mom would give me to make me feel better when I was really sick. So chicken noodle soup seemed to fix a lot of things when I was sick. Made me feel better. But sometimes there are things that these medicines and chicken noodle soup can't help us. We have to sometimes go to a doctor. Well, if you heard in our story today, in our reading of the gospel, there was a man who had a boy, and he was really sick. Yes, hold on, let me finish my story, okay? And he tried everything. His dad tried everything to help his son out, and nothing worked. But he had heard that Jesus was doing some miracles and healing people. So he went to Jesus to see if he can help his son get better. He had an evil spirit that made him do all kinds of harmful things to himself. And so he thought, well, maybe Jesus can help my son. But when he's talking to Jesus, he realized something else even more important. Even though he knew Jesus would help his son, he was having a hard time believing who Jesus really was. And so he said, "Jesus, help me to believe." And Jesus not only helped heal his son, but he helped this man with his faith believe that Jesus was the Son of God and could take away his sins. And we have, if you'd like, there is a packet out back. Maybe some of you guys have this with some of the things we just talked about, that you can do it during the sermon. And if not, there is still Sunday school you can go to. But before you go to back to your pews or Sunday school, why don't we say a quick prayer, okay? Could you fold your hands, bow your heads, and close your eyes, and repeat after me. Dear Jesus, help us not to let our troubles determine how we feel or think. Help us focus on your promises and how much you love us. We love you, Jesus. And all God's children say, amen. All right, thanks, guys.
Jesus.
Jesus. Amen. Well, today we get another one of Jesus' amazing miracles. We get to see him do something that none of us probably could do. In fact, actually, the way our gospel reading goes, none of us could do, ever. In there, we get to see this father who brings his son to be healed by Jesus. This is a man who has a child who's grown up. He's still a child, but the word used in the scriptures is not like a little child, but a child. Probably not a young time lesson child, if that helps. He comes looking for help. And he doesn't find Jesus, not at first anyway. We skipped over a section of Mark. We've been going in the lectionary through Mark, and we skip over chapter 8. In this series of readings, but we get them later at a different time. You see, the reason that Jesus wasn't there with his other disciples is he was away with Peter, James, and John up on a mountain at the Transfiguration, where he's shown in the glory of God, and we get this great vision and image that Jesus truly is the Son of God, as he is supported and glorified before Peter, James, and John. So he comes down off of this literal mountaintop experience, and he finds people arguing. This happens a lot for Jesus. He comes in, and he sees his disciples, and he sees the scribes and the Pharisees, and everyone's arguing. What they're arguing about specifically, we can only kind of infer. But there is this man who's had this son who's been possessed with a demon. He's been sick for so long with something that we would probably describe like epilepsy, seizing and falling on the floor and foaming. And you imagine he has gone and tried everything to heal his son. He didn't have a can of chicken noodle soup, but whatever other ways they might have done in the day, he probably would have gone to their doctors. He probably would have brought him, my guess is, to the Pharisees and scribes, to the temple, finding any way he could to heal his son. And all that's left is to understand this is a demon, that he is possessed by a demon that would cause him to have these symptoms like epilepsy and would even try to kill him, tossing him into water, tossing him into fire. And here he's brought his son. He's heard about Jesus who can do amazing things. He's been casting out demons left and right all over. If anyone could do it, Jesus could. And he gets there and he finds Jesus' disciples instead. Now, these disciples, they've already gone out. They've been sent out with the specific job of teaching people what Jesus had been teaching them, and they had cast out demons. They came back to Jesus. It worked. They were super excited. They told him stories about how wonderful it was. Here, they're thinking, well, Jesus is away. We'll take care of it, though. We've done this before. So they go and try to cast out the demon, and it doesn't work. It doesn't take. Maybe this is why there was that bickering and that arguing going on. Here, the Pharisees and the scribes, the doubters, have come along with those who are indeed disciples and followers of Jesus. And they're like, look, look, you're not doing things right. Clearly you don't actually have this power that you say that you have to cast out demons. And they're arguing back and forth. And, well, Jesus said we did. You can imagine what it sounded like. Jesus comes in. He tries to figure out what's going on. And the father comes to him. Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And he describes that his son is in great despair. This is not only affecting his daily life, it could lead to his death, as it does try to toss him into fire and water. He says, I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. He asked these men to do it. These men tried, and it didn't work. And Jesus responds with something that as a disciple you really don't want to hear. O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. And then Jesus shows good bedside manner. The boy is brought to him and he asks the father, how long has this been happening? His whole life, from childhood, often trying to cast him into fire and water to destroy him. And then he says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. We don't know quite the inflection he used. If you can do anything, if you can do anything. We don't know how it quite sounded, but Jesus responds and we get what he said, what the Father says the next time, and it gives us an idea. Jesus says, if you can. I don't know if he's saying if you can or if you can to me. The point is, there is exasperation in his voice a little bit. If Jesus is from the Father, Jesus is God. Also, we know that the Father listens to us in prayer. It says, if you can. All things are possible for one who believes. If you can. For one who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, I believe. Help my unbelief. I felt like that sometimes. Thankfully, none of us have been falling on the floor into fire. But I believe, help my unbelief. I do believe in God. I do believe in Jesus. Help my unbelief that you can do all things. We trust in a God who can do all things. This God is able to control all of creation. He has created all of creation. Our God is able to do all things. And yet, it's hard to believe sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to believe because we can think of, well, not everything's always gone my way, and I've prayed for things, and it always hasn't happened. And yet, we still believe in a God who, in his own time and in his own ways, through his own will, does do what he wants and can do what he wants because he is God. Now, we do often pray for things. It's hard to pray for them and to pray with a strong and willful prayer. God, heal my family member. Rescue this person from danger. A lot of times we pray that in our own hearts and our minds, we're thinking, maybe, please, I hope it could work. We pray to the God who is in control of all things. Whether he will or won't do something, that is of his nature and his design to choose when and when not to do things. We pray, though, knowing that we are talking to him who can do it. Think of Jesus in the garden right before his death. He's praying fervently, saying, if this cup of wrath could be taken from me, please do so. Yet not my will, but your will be done. There's our model for how to pray. Now, I have to admit, I got excited and I jumped the gun a little bit, at least as far as our readings go. Because you see, at the end of our reading, of course, we get the disciples who say, Jesus, how come we couldn't do it? How come we couldn't cast this one out? We could do it before. And Jesus points them to what they could do, what they should have done. Pray. Notice, Jesus didn't do that, though. This one only gets cast out by prayer. Well, okay. Jesus said, out! He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. That doesn't sound like a prayer to me. But he's God. He's able to do these things because he's God. We are not God. Much as we might think that of ourselves sometimes. We pray to the God who is in control of all things, the God who can cast out demons, the God who can heal, the God who can save, the God who has saved us. We pray to the God who's shown us that he wants to hear us, and he's made us his children to listen, to that we might trust that he would listen to us. We pray to the God who has already cast out our own sinful nature from us when we stand before him. Jesus, the only one who could cast out this demon without prayer. Jesus, the only one who could die for our sins and cast that out of us as well. Jesus, the one who has saved you in a way that was even greater than how he just saved this boy. Now, I love that we just sang this song here. What a friend we have in Jesus. It's a good old faithful. I love it. I remember it from being a kid. Perhaps you may remember it in younger years as well. It's a great one. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. What needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That's a theologically deep, rich, and wonderful stanza. And we call it a children's song. What a great and wonderful thing for us to remember. We carry everything to God in prayer. All things big, all things small. What needless grief we bear because we don't do that. We pray to a God who can do it. And we call that good. We try our best to move on, trusting that God is at work in our lives, and that he will do what is right, whether we feel like it's right or not, whatever he chooses to do. Now, I love that this is also paired for us with our Old Testament reading. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary." We have the tongue of someone who is taught. You've been taught through Bible study, through your own understanding of Scripture as you read through it, through prayer, through countless sermons here from those far more experienced. You're up over the 1,000 mark, right? If I remember from a few weeks ago. We have heard countless times of God's goodness for us, God's provision for us, and Christ's sacrifice for us. You have been taught well. You have been given the tongue of one who is taught. That tongue can be used in amazing ways. We read in James chapter 3 that it can also be used in some pretty poor ways. The tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Whew. That tongue can be difficult to work with sometimes. This tongue is often directly connected to our two natures, the sinfulness in us and the Christ who lives in us as well. How often have we, I don't know if this is your problem quite as much as it is mine, spoken without thinking? This has been my constant problem from childhood. Speaking and thinking while doing it has been a great tool for me. I process verbally, perhaps you do as well. But also, sometimes I say things where I'm like, can I go back and edit that off? Maybe. I have a pastor that helped train me in preaching as well, who he said, a lot of times I'll pray to God and I'll say a prayer and I'll think about it. And as I'm still praying, I'll say, no, God, I'll go back. Not that, please. I'll pray for something else instead. He has that problem with talking to God, too. This tongue of ours is difficult to control. You have a tongue that is indeed affected by our own sinful nature. And yet you also have the tongue of one who has been taught, who knows what is far greater than what our own sinful nature would bring. a tongue that is far greater than whatever remedy you could find here on earth to heal all sorts of brokenness. Jesus' tongue in our gospel reading was used to comfort a father and cast out a demon. And he told the disciples their tongues could be used in prayer to do the same. Your tongue has the great ability to either lead to confusion and squabble and bickering, or your tongue can also be used to bring great life and peace because it knows the word that can sustain him who is weary. Now, I mentioned that we skipped over Mark chapter 8, and I know that we'll get it at a different part in our lectionary series. Don't worry, Mark 8 will show up again. But I especially love a connection for today. You see, in Mark chapter 8, Jesus is finally having a moment to walk with his disciples unimpeded by bickering. And he asks them, "Who do people say that I am?" And they say, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say at least one of the prophets, I don't know. He's clearly someone important." And then he asks, "Well, but who do you say that I am?" And Peter steps up, again, one like me, a tongue that just blah, 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 says things. Thankfully, it was this time the one with the tongue who is taught and says, "You are the Christ. You are the Christ." Your tongue has been taught that many times. Your heart has been taught that. Jesus is the Christ. He is the one who can do all things, and in fact does all things well. Jesus, the Christ, is the word that sustains all men, all mankind. All need to hear that Jesus is the Christ, the one who can cast out demons, the only one who could die for the whole world's sins, the one who did it, the one who has made you right before God by giving you faith through the Holy Spirit, that you can trust in what he's done for him, for you. Your tongue has been taught and trained both to pray and to tell others that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Everyone can come to him in prayer. Whether that means they need to be taught or they've been doing it for years, we all need to be sustained by hearing that Jesus is the Christ. We often think about saying that to those who don't know Jesus. And of course, that's a big and important part of being a Christian, sharing the good news that we have. But we also need to keep teaching our brothers and sisters the same way we need to be taught. We need more sermons. We need more Bible study. We need more prayer. We need more fellowship with those who know that Jesus is the Christ. We need that regularly. We need to keep being taught, because the sinful nature is still there, this side of heaven at least. Until we are fully made right before God by Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Christ is still your Savior today. He is the one who sustains you in all things. He is the one who has allowed you, who has made a way for you to pray directly to your Father in heaven, to the one who is in control of all things. You are one who is taught. You have a tongue. Control it. And pray that God will help you do so. In fact, just pray that he'll do it. God, control my tongue. Use it well. Use it wisely, that I may continue to sustain others, to tell them that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Now, God, please rise as we share our faith through the words of the Nicene Creed. God has made us his people through our baptism into Christ, living together in trust and hope we confess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as we present our offerings. Heavenly Father, may this offering and the offerings of our hearts throughout the week be a continued reminder of all that is good that you have given us, and please use this to bless your ministry here on earth. For the congregation, please join me in the prayer of the church. After each petition, I'll say, Lord, in your mercy, and the congregation responds, hear our prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful blessing that it is to be your children who have been trained and taught through your word. We ask that you would continue to guide and direct our tongues that they may be used to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the whole world. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, for all those who do not yet know the love of Jesus and do not know about your saving grace for them, we ask that you would bring your Holy Spirit into the world to change hearts and minds, that more would become our brothers and sisters and join your heavenly family. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, continue to remind your church on earth that all power and authority comes from you and you alone. Help us to never be headstrong in thinking we can do more than we are able on our own. Help us to find our strength and to put our hope and trust in you and how you might use us to accomplish your will. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, for all those who continue to suffer from things known and things unknown, from afflictions of the body, the mind, and the spirit, we ask your care and your provision and your healing. We ask that you would especially be with Dan and Christina Roberts, that you would be with Rick Hermes, and that you would continue to be with Bill and Barb, Paige, Bob and Eileen, the Mather family, Carolyn, Dorothy, Walt, Nancy, Royce, Mary, Kathy, Sandra, Sue, Ken, Jeremiah, Phyllis, Dorothy, Tracy, Gail, Kylie, Dale and Marilyn, John and Janice, Kurt and Kathy. And we also ask that you would be with those that we name before you in our hearts and our minds. Lord, in your mercy. And Father, for those who mourn at the death of a loved one, we ask that you would continue to provide your peace and your comfort. We mourn as those who we do not mourn as those who have no faith. And we ask that you would strengthen us in that faith to look forward to the day when we'd be joined with those who have died and gone before us in that faith to be with you in heaven. Please especially be with Julius, with a friend, Julie, whose husband has just passed away. And please be with all those who mourn at the death of Kevin Dombrowski. Father, you know the pain and the suffering that is in all of our hearts. And we ask that you would give us a peace and a knowledge that you are in control and that you can continue to care for us. Lord, in your mercy. Father, for all those who continue to put their lives in harm's way to bless and protect others, we ask that you would give them safety, that you would continue to guide the efforts of those, especially who are fighting fires, that they might themselves be safe while they also continue to protect those you've put in their care. Give them health, energy, and bring them safely home, and help their efforts to be effective. Lord, in your mercy. Father, for this community and for every community around the world, we ask that you would strengthen those in leadership and give faithful leaders who care for those you've put under their care. Give them wisdom and diligence in executing their duties. Lord, in your mercy. Father, for these petitions and for all others that are on our hearts and our minds, we thank you for listening to us and for giving us the ability to be your children, who can talk to you as our Heavenly Father that loves us. Help us to daily use our tongue in prayer and praise as we grow in our relationship with you. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please rise as we continue with the service of the sacrament? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him.
Truly good, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy,
Lord God of time, the door. Shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest. Sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me. We pray as Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one. just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, for wretched mind, Satan, riches, him mind. Yes, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promises I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken. such is treasure. How great the pain of serene loss. The Father turns his faith away as wounds which mar a chosen one. Bring many a son to glory.
The congregation, please rise. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We see the hand of God in the light of creation's grand design, in the lives of those who prove his faithfulness, who walk by faith and not by sight. By faith our fathers roamed the earth with the power of his in their hearts, of the holy city built by God's own hand, a place where peace and justice reign. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on him, our soul reward, till the race is finished and is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. By faith the prophets saw a day when the longed for Messiah would appear with the power to break the chains of sin and death and rise triumphant. The church was called to go. In the power of the saints to lead the lost, to deliver captives and to preach good news in every corner of the earth. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on Him, our soul reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. By faith the mountain shall be moved, and the power of the gospel shall prevail. For we know in Christ all things are possible for all who call upon His name. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on Him, our soul reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight.
Let us proclaim the mystery of our faith.
Christ is died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again. May our God bless you and keep you. May God make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. May He look on you with favor and grant you His peace. Amen. And go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.